I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods to where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons and Dragons podcast for kids. In Tavern Tales Junior, we'll take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids, so let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
Welcome to the game so far with my juvenile friends here who are going to play some Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Why don't we do some introductions around the table, starting with...
My name is DJ Ashardalong. I am a fighter, folk hero. Oh, and I am a dragonborn. My weapons are a great sword, crossbow, and...
Awesome. You got some great weapons there, DJ Ashardalong. But who is the player?
Savannah.
Hi, Savannah. All right, and next to Savannah is...
Hi, my name is Robin. I play Sasha Kikian, and she is a wizard tabaxi.
Nice. Have you picked all your spells and figured out all of your castings as of yet?
I'm still...
Still working on that? Yep. Okay, well, we'll come up on those as we can. And next to you is...
Flash.
And what's your name?
Flash.
But what is the player's name? Hi, my name is...
Will.
There we go. And you're playing Flash. What is Flash?
He's a human.
Yes, that's right. What type of character is he? What type of class?
He's a fighter.
So, let's talk about the adventure that we've had so far before we started recording. Does anybody remember some of the things that happened?
I do.
All right.
So basically we started off as fifth level people coming out, graduating from our two different kinds of schools, Wario School, Vanna and Will are.
Yep.
And Wizard School for me and Will.
Great. And then when you left Wizard School and Fighter School, you were approached to join something. Do you remember what that was called, Savannah?
The Lord's Own.
That's right. All right. So after you graduated from school, you were approached by an organization. They were called, Savannah...
The Lord's Own.
Yes. And did you choose to join them or not?
I did. We all did.
I think we all chose to.
Right.
Join them.
And were you guys friends before you went to school?
Yes.
Did you all know each other?
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think DJ knew Flash and DJ knew Sasha, right?
Yeah.
And now, sorry?
I met Sasha from way back, and I met Flash at fighter school.
Perfect. Yes, that's right. And so you guys finished school, joined the Lord's Own, and trained for several weeks with a little group. So welcome again to Tavern Tales. This is a subsequent series for young players. How old are you, Savannah?
10.
And how old are you, Robin?
I'm 9.
And how old are you, Will?
5.5.
Perfect. So, my young players here have been on an adventure. They were challenged by the Lord's Own to go to a town called...
Thunder Tree,
where there were some...
Goblins?
That's right, goblins. And you were sent with two other comrades. What were their names?
Isaac and Georgington.
Isaac and Georgington. Do you remember what classes Isaac and Georgington were?
I think Georgington's a paladin.
That's right.
And Isaac is... I don't remember.
Isaac was a ranger. However, as you were on your way to Thunder Tree, you had to stay the night. You found a nice little campsite. You want to describe what that campsite was?
There were blackberry bushes around an area. The blackberry bushes kind of enclosed an area. And we set up a little fire
And made a camp.
And made a camp.
What happened?
We all took
shifts for watching the camp, and while one of us was watching, we heard footsteps, and they were goblins.
Oh my goodness.
If I do remember correctly, it was your watch, Samantha?
That's right.
Yeah,
it was DJ's watch, and she heard them, and she woke up all of her allies. And did you guys defeat those goblins?
Yes.
Yes, but we kept one of them for questioning.
Yeah, and I remember Georgington was hurt really bad, was he not? Yeah, and he went down, but he was able to save himself with his lay on hands. Was Flash really helpful in the fight? Did Flash do anything cool?
Yes.
All right, so what did Flash do in the fight?
Save people.
Did he cast a spell?
Yes.
What spell did he cast?
He did a spell called Shocking Hand.
Shocking Grasp. Yeah, he loves that spell, doesn't he? Because it has what type of damage?
Lightning.
That's right, lightning damage.
And I remember that me and Will casted a lot of magic missile.
Right. Yeah, you cast some magic missile, defeated some goblins. Did you keep one alive?
Yes.
And what did you hear? What did the goblin tell you about what was going on at Thunder Tree?
That... I don't remember.
Was there a giant army?
Yep.
Involved?
Uh-huh.
Did Isaac have to go back to Fairhaven, the main city there, to report?
Yes, and he took my horse to carry the goblin,
right.
So I rode with Sasha.
All right, so Isaac left with the goblin to go tell about the army that was approaching. You rode into Thunder Tree the next morning with your group, down one horse and one companion. And what happened in Thunder Tree?
I remember before we met a little boy, I passed out and I had a vision.
Right, you passed out and had a vision. Did you tell anybody about the vision?
No, but they knew I was lying.
Right, because they knew you had a vision. Do you want to tell the listeners what the vision was?
It was something about my dad, Ashardalon.
Right.
And he was gonna send...
Sorry, I just thought about your character and...
DJ's dad, Ashardalon, this giant flaming red dragon, is pulling the strings in the background and sending these hordes of goblins out into the world to try to take control of things, right?
Yes.
Okay. In the meantime, you arrived in Thunder Tree. You had this vision of these horrible things to descend upon you. Thunder Tree looked like it was in a panic. There were people everywhere. And someone came running up to you, seeing you seeing your badges of the Lord's Own upon your chest. You've got those Lord's Own cloaks that were provided to you that have the big symbol on the back with a brooch on the front that has a clasp that has the symbol of the Lord's Own, which is a red background with a gold crown on top of it, which I've given you the symbols for. And he comes running up. What was his name?
Lucas.
And what was he?
A halfling.
He was a halfling. And he was a little boy, right? He wasn't a grown-up. He was maybe 12 or 13 years old. And where was he coming from?
He was coming from his house because he couldn't find his family.
That's right. His family had been attacked by goblins.
Yeah.
And his dad had told him, flee, run to Thunder Tree and get help. So he did. And he found you guys. And you decided you needed to go and help. So you went to the farmhouse, right? You rode your horses to the farmhouse. You dismounted off your horses towards the front door. And you sneaked up to it and you found out that the front door was...
unlocked.
No, it was completely broken down, right?
Oh,
it was
right.
Laid out on the ground and you had to step over the timbers of it to enter the home. What did you find in the home?
We found nothing downstairs, but when we went to the second level, we found Lucas's mom dead on the floor.
Right, how did she die?
She had a knife in her hand,
right.
And...
had she been stabbed a couple of times?
Yes.
And she passed away. And you realized there was nothing you could do to save her or bring her back. So then you went and the door was locked and you heard some noises behind a door. What happened then?
I used knock
yep.
to open the door after we failed trying to get the kids to get the people to come out.
Right.
And what we found in there was two very young girls that were Lucas's sisters and a dead
goblin.
There was a dead goblin and the two young girls, and the goblin had died from the wounds that had been inflicted upon him by Lucas's mom. So then you heard a ruckus go on, right? You heard some noises and a shaking. What happened then?
we checked outside, and then there was a giant hole, and Lucas saw some clothes that belonged to his dad and his last sister.
Right. Yes. So his dad and his sister had been captured by these goblins and taken away. Or maybe it was kobolds, but I think it was goblins.
Actually, I think it was kobolds.
Yes. So these kobolds.
It was a dead kobold.
To a dead kobold in the room. And a kobold is kind of like a dragonborn, but smaller and looks a lot, has a tail, looks a lot more like a lizard than dragonborn do. Dragonborn look like dragon men, and kobolds look like lizard folk. Does that make sense?
Lizard men.
Yeah, lizard men. Little short lizard men. So these kobolds had carried away Lucas's dad and his sister. Right, his other sister, his older sister. And this hole that had been dug in the ground was actually a magical hole that was actually like a ramp that came up from underneath the earth. And it was like a wide ravine that stretched about 40 feet long. And so you heard a rumble and it started to close. So without grabbing your horses, without getting your packs, although you did have your dungeoneering and your adventuring kits on you, you grabbed your and soldiered your arms, left Lucas behind to tend to his sister, and you journeyed down you journeyed down into under the ground, and as you went down this ramp, the roof closed over above you, the stone met back up, the earth filled back in, and darkness descended. Thankfully, Sasha has a spell called Continual Flame, and she has a bunch of Continual Flame stones and torches, and so you guys are able to see down there. All of your characters are level 5, and you've descended now down a ramp that took you 3 hours to travel as you journeyed further and further and further down. You journeyed so far down that you got tired and had to take a rest before you came upon a giant opening. And the whole world opened up. The roof of the caverns below you, above you, was like 300 feet up, and there were pinpricks of light shining from up above as your continual flame held lights came through into this giant opening, and you could see footprints leading from across from where you were then to a kind of small 10 foot wide, 6 feet tall opening just 40 feet away from you. This cavern is immense though, and stretches to the left and to the right until your eyes can't see. What happened with those pinpricks of light?
We never knew what they were because none of us have nature as one of our strengths.
Right, you couldn't figure out what they were.
We're not
drawings. But something, they started to come towards you, didn't they?
Yes.
And what happened? What ended up happening?
It's funny what we used to be the characters, but they came down, and there was these strange spidery monster creatures, and they attacked us, and there were, I think, 6 of them.
Right, there was a whole bunch of them. And they're called Sturges, and they were actually like bat-like mosquito characters. If you remember, I showed you a picture. They're really, really ugly, but they swarmed the group of you and started attacking, and one of them had grabbed onto somebody and was sucking out their blood. Do you remember who that was?
I do.
Yeah, who was it? Was it Flash that had gotten grabbed and his blood was sucked from his body?
Yes.
Yeah, and then a bunch of people cast Magic Missile and killed all of these Sturges right, left, and
me
center.
Me and Robin.
But
you and Sasha, yes.
But after we defeated these kobolds, opened the doors because they heard a bunch of racket from where we were, casting Magic Missile and all of these.
Right, so the kobolds were alerted to your presence. And when we open up upon this new game, you're standing at the entrance of a very long chasm, and the Sturges lie dead at your feet. You're standing in a very long cavern that stretches to the left and the right beyond you. You only have one point of interest, and it is this entrance. And firelight flickers from within, and you see stepping out to face you is a whole plethora of kobolds.
How many?
I'll do that right now. So I'm going to set up your miniatures, if you could.
It's really funny because we used gummy bears to be the Sturges. I like that. And whoever killed one got to eat it.
Now, we need your guys' figurines too, right?
Love that airship that our mom made.
So the miniatures have been set. The kobolds have stepped out. The kobolds are standing. There's four of them have stepped across. You're pretty sure there are more that lurk behind this stone archway. These four kobolds bristle with crossbows and short bows. You're all positioned and ready for combat. If everyone could roll, initiative. So everybody's got their D20s and their D6s and their D8s and D10s all ready to go.
Oh.
And you know where they are, so you can roll them going forward. All right, Coasty, what did you get? A 14, and you get to add your dexterity bonus to that, which I believe is plus 2, so that's a 16. What did you get, Sasha?
14.
And DJ, what did you get? Check.
7.
All right. So first up will be Costi, followed by Sasha. Costi, what would you like to do with these kobolds that are now looking like they're going to shoot crossbows and whatnot at you? You see these guys, what do you want to do? Do you have any shocking spells you want to cast, or do you want to shocking grasp them?
Yes.
All right, I do believe that is a ranged attack. Let me just double check that.
No, he needs to touch them.
It is a touch attack, so you will need to be able to move up and touch them. So you can charge forward from where you are, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, but you are 5 feet too far away from being able to touch one of those goblins, one of those kobolds this turn. So what would you like to do instead, since you can't reach with shocking grasp?
Magic missile.
All right, you can launch your magic missile. You're going to roll your D4, which is the caltrop or the pyramid-looking one.
Can I have more of the pyramids?
Yes, you'll need a couple more. Does anybody have a couple pyramids that they can pass to Coasty?
Because I only have...
And now you get to roll three of those.
I only have two pyramids.
That's fine.
So I need another one, too.
Yeah, you can borrow as needed, too. What'd you get for each of them?
Three.
A three, and then what are the other two?
The other two are 1, 4, 3, and...
So you got a two, a four, and a three is 9 plus 3 is 12 points of damage. So you have killed the first kobold that is way up in front of you because he has expired. So make sure you note that you've now cast Magic Missile and you cannot cast, I don't know how many more spells you have. You're level 5. You've cast that spell and it is now Sasha's turn.
Magic missile, of course.
Your magic missile as well? Okay.
Actually, let me see what I can do. I can firebolt them.
Okay, so while you're waiting to do something, DJ, what would you like to do?
I think I'm going to use my greatsword.
Okay, so you're going to charge forward. Can you charge forward 6 squares and hit them? Is that still going to be possible? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, you can. So you can move your figure all the way forward if you want me to do that. You have you've charged forward and attacked. Now you need to make your attack roll. Now roll 2d20 because you get to attack twice.
A 14 and an 8.
Okay, a 14 and an 8. The 14 is sufficient to hit, the 8 is not. So you're going to roll your damage for your, what is it, a greatsword?
Yes.
So that's 2d6.
I'm
so sorry, your character's name is Flash. Good call, Flash. I will make a note to continue to call you Flash, because Coasty's your name from the other game.
Also,
you should have done that in the microphone. Flash, not Coasty.
It's basically another Tavern Tales series called Order of the D.
Yes.
No sense. We have three different services.
All right. So did you roll those 2d6?
Uh-huh.
And what was the total you got?
8.
8. And did you add your strength bonus to that damage too?
12.
So 12. So this one is carrying a crossbow, and when you swing your sword down, you cut the crossbow arms right off. The string breaks, the crossbow bolt flies off into the darkness, and your slash hits the kobold dead in the chest, and he dies with his lungs ruptured, gurgling on his own blood. So he dies, and we can remove him from the board as well. Your second attack didn't hit, so you missed. We'll continue on. Sasha, what were you planning on doing?
I was planning on doing a acid splash because I don't want to waste any of my first level spells.
Okay, cool. So you can actually do an acid splash very easily and hit those last two and not hit your friend. Sasha runs forward a couple of feet, move forward like 15 feet, and cast acid splash in such a way that it does not hit any of your allies. And let's see, what damage does acid splash do?
Acid splash. Now I'm gonna roll my thing.
Just one second, because I think acid splash may very well be a dexterity saving throw. So you don't have to roll. They are the ones who have to roll. Your range is 60 feet. You didn't have to run at all forward. You cast it and you hurl a bubble of acid and you choose two creatures within range that are within 5 feet of each other. They are. And so now they have to both make dexterity saves. In order to do so, you're going to roll 2d6 damage if you hit. We'll roll the first one there. He got a 1 and the second one there. He got a 12. And I think both of them have failed because your DC's 15. And so you have now managed to hit both of them. So you're going to roll 2d6 damage for each of those targets. So roll 2d6, the square ones. 1, 2, roll that twice. We'll see what the damage is for each of those kobolds. 7 damage is more than enough to kill the first one. And then the second, roll again. 8 damage is more than enough to kill him as well. You have killed all three of these kobolds very, very quickly, very brutally. They didn't even get a chance. They all came forward to attack you, and now they've all been dispatched.
We are doing way better than
Right. It is now the kobold's turn and then Georgington's turn. So the kobolds are not done. As you can see, the ones that have stepped out have completed. But there are some that are they're within the recesses of this cave. So you could not see these three kobolds before. All three of them take their arrows from their crossbows and they all try to shoot DJ, who is within range. But because it's dark, they are 10, 20, 35 feet away. They have disadvantage on the check because the light does not travel. Actually, no, you guys have your continual flames, so that's more than enough. They all have regular attacks on you, DJ, to hit you. So what is your armor class, DJ?
Scale.
Right, but what's the AC on your character sheet?
16.
16. So two of them actually hit you with their crossbows, and they do 6 points of damage each, dealing total to you 12. Now that's not a lot to DJ. She's got lots and lots of hit points because she's a fighter, but it is a setback as these crossbow bolts and arrow fire into her and do this damage. Also, more kobolds seem to be able to be seen from within. So Georgington is now, it's his turn. He is going to do a double move in to be ready to attack and fight the kobolds, then to try to find the dad and the daughter. So he moves into the corridor there where all the kobolds are, and we are back to the top of the round where it is Flash's turn again.
I want to pay. What other spells do I have?
You can't see any bad guys from where you're at really well, so you could move forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that my turn?
Yeah, you would only really be able to move at this point. There are a few other things you could do, but the kobolds are further away from you. You can't actually see around the corners. Okay. Yeah, so he can move home. 20, 25, 30. 25. All right. No, you haven't moved yet. So that was Flash's turn. Flash, when you arrive, there's a whole bunch of kobolds there. They're all, a bunch of these guys look very, very weak, very timid, very tired. They see that you guys are well-leveled adventurers. A bunch of them are probably going to try to flee from you next round. That's what you get when you walk into the room. You do, however, see the dad and the daughter. They are bound and gagged, then laying next to a fire that is over by where those two kobolds are on the right-hand side for you guys. Right there, exactly. So it's now Sasha's turn. Sasha, you can see those three kobolds with their crossbows and arrows. What would you like to do?
I kind of want to acid splash them, but will I hit my compatriots?
No, you won't hit your compatriots. It'll go around them. They'll have to make their dexterity saves. So you can hit two of them.
Okay.
One of them did make their dexterity save. The other one did not. So roll 2d6 damage on that one. You've rolled. He just melts when you do almost maximum damage. One second. Okay. So you do acid splash. You kill one of them. Which one did you get?
I want to get the middle one.
I recommend this one. That way, if you cast Acid Splash again, you'd be able to kill another one. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Cool. You took out the one on my left. He dies a horrible death. He melts. All you see are bones. And then soon after that, you don't even see bones. He's just a pile of goo on the floor. And it dissolves quickly. It's like such a virulent splash of acid as she hurls this bubble from way back. It passes you. And you're like, if that had hit me, I would have died. So thinks DJ. So now that was Sasha's turn. It is now DJ's turn, followed by the kobolds. DJ, what would you like to do?
I think I'm gonna try and use my crossbow on the middle kobold.
Okay, yeah, you're only 5 feet away, so you could use your greatsword instead. The greatsword does do a lot more damage than your crossbow. So you could instead take a step forward and be able to attack both of the kobolds, if you would like to.
Yeah, greatsword instead.
All right, so roll 2d20. I would recommend you attack both targets. So pick the blue one for one and the purple one for another. And then we'll go from there. What are your totals there? I think you're plus a whole bunch. So I think you're plus 7, right?
Yeah, plus 7 for the one of them is 14.
That's
and
a hit.
For the other one, it's 19.
Perfect. So that is also a hit. So roll your 2 purple d6s and then roll 2 blue d6s. I think you might only have one of each, but roll them twice and then you'll be good to go. So this is the purple one. Did you kill the purple one flat out? I'm pretty sure you did because you're plus 4 damage already. And you did an 8 total damage. It dies quietly, having been cut through the neck. How did this one die?
Yeah, I cut him through his neck.
Where's PJ standing? Because I was going to move her into
Yeah.
Sneak attack.
Just like that? All right, yeah. You charge in, you turn, you see that there's 2 of those that are available to you. They're right next to the bound and gagged prisoners. You kill the one brutally in the neck. And how does the other... And roll the damage for the other one. Yep, it dies to a painful death. How does it die?
And for the second one, I slice it right down the middle.
Oh my god, he's right from the top of the head.
It's like your brain comes out.
Your sword goes right through between his legs and both halves fall to other side. Blood is everywhere. You are splattered with blood. Kobold blood is a kind of greenish color. It glows dimly in the light. DJ's armor is now coated in blood from all of the damage that you just did to this kobold. Those two are dead. You actually hit the dad with blood as well. It sizzles and crackles in the fire. Because it was a very, very brutal strike. So that was DJ's action. It is now the kobold's turn. So those two kobolds that are in front of you guys, they flee. They're more than 5 feet away from you. So these two guys are going to run away.
Try and get them, Jesus.
They flee down this corridor until you can't see them because they go at least 60 feet forward. Then the other three kobolds, realizing that they can't really flee. Now, one of them is bigger than the others, and he's carrying a wicked-looking sword, and he has a really nice-looking shield.
DJ, I think this is your call.
He's standing there. Then there's a normal-looking kobold behind him, and on the other side of them is a kobold that looks older. His skin isn't as bright a red. It's more of a brownish scale now. And he's wearing a robe and he's carrying a bent stick. And the three kobolds see the purple dragonborn DJ and Georgington, and they have not even seen Sasha the Tabaxi yet.
I'm just gonna acid them,
but
they're not gonna even know.
The kobold leader, he takes his gleaming wicked sword and he throws it on the ground and he cries out in Draconic, "Please, please don't kill us. We are just doing the actions of our master. Our lives, we wish not to die."
I want to, like, send a mental message to DJ.
Okay. I'll allow it. It's not your turn yet, but it will be soon enough. The three kobolds then try to sidle away from you guys towards where the other two kobolds fled, but they don't look like they're going to take any aggressive action towards you. So they move around towards that other corridor, and that was their whole action. They genuflect, which means they pay you a lot of respect, and they bow, and they're very obsequious. You don't have to actually move them. We might be out of combat as necessary. They don't flee, and your characters are more than willing. You can still attack them and whatnot, but they're definitely showing that they don't want to attack you. That was the kobold's turn. Georgington holds action, waiting for you guys to take turn, and he looks to DJ and says, "Well, what would you have us do with them, DJ?"
I'd say we should probably keep the oldest one for questioning, because he probably knows the most.
Yes. Okay.
You'd say that in common back to him. Georgington's looking at you because he did not understand what the kobolds were saying, but he did understand the universal language of throwing your sword on the ground and backing up as, I don't want to fight you anymore. Sasha, what did you want to say?
I was just going to message her and be like, we should keep them for question. Actually, I'll just say it. I want to move up.
Yep.
And be like, yes. And like, be like, guys, I think keep the oldest one. Good point there. But also, I don't want to threaten them because they've shown, like, we really don't want to hurt you because, like, we have, like, absolute no power against you guys.
Exactly.
So, I haven't gotten to talk.
Yeah, what does Flash say? Yeah, Flash, what do you say? You also have charged up. You're here as well. You've killed a couple of kobolds. Flash, it's your turn, actually. What would you like to do?
I want to kill a kobold.
You want to kill one of these kobolds?
No, I don't think we should.
Flash, they threw their sword on the ground. You could go take a look at it and pick it up if you'd like.
I want to pick it up.
Okay, so Flash will move forward to pick up the sword. The kobolds genuflect. They realize that they might not speak common very well. So that we're now out of combat. The kobolds are trying to sneak away, but you've definitely corralled them. And it sounds like you want to keep one of them for questioning.
Okay, get the old guy and unrestrain our dad and his daughter.
Okay, perfect. So the leader of the kobolds is more than willing to throw the old kobold in your direction as he and his other kobold friend leave.
Should we have kept the leader?
As you're trying to make that decision, you've already got the old kobold in your hands and he's already like running away down the corridor. Now you could still cast Acid Splash or Magic Missile or do a damaging spell to hurt him or kill him at your leisure. However, that really wouldn't be a good thing to do since they are running away.
I don't really want to because I'm like, they don't want to fight us. So why in the world would we go up and attack them?
Okay, perfect. So Coasty, you have reached forward and you've picked up a beautiful short sword. It would have been a long sword in the arms of this rather tall but still short kobold, but it's a short sword to you. Why don't you give a look at that short sword and tell me what it looks like.
It looks like really blue.
Oh, it's a blue short sword. And does it have any gems on the pommel?
Yeah.
How many gems does it have on the pommel?
Six.
It has six gems along the pommel. Are they all the same color?
Yep, they're all blue.
They're all blue as well. So the sword glows dimly in the darkness with a blue light. It has six blue gems along the pommel. And as you hold this sword, you realize that this sword and these stones allow you to cast Shocking Grasp as a ranged attack. Or you can cast Shocking Grasp through the sword when you strike someone. So you can hit someone and as a bonus action, Shocking Grasp them as well. That'll be very, very helpful. And I'll help you write that on your character sheet later. Everybody else is okay with Flash having this weapon that seems built towards his character?
I think that maybe DJ should help him, I don't know, maybe understand something. Because she is more of a full fighter. He's an Eldritch Knight.
Yeah, he's an Eldritch Knight. This is like an Eldritch Knight's weapon of choice. Flash, do you like this weapon?
Yes!
Excellent. So, who goes and unbinds? So, do you guys leave Georgington to go and help the two prisoners? Or DJ goes over to help the two prisoners?
I will too.
Okay. You are responsible currently. Okay, so Georgington has to currently hold the old kobold hostage. All right, well, he's got him held and bound, and you tie him up, and you put him over by the fire, and you go and you help out the dad and the daughter. The daughter seems to be very hurt, and the dad seems to be minimally hurt.
Is the daughter, like, dead?
The daughter is not dead. You go over, and you found out that the daughter is badly injured. The dad is only a little bit injured, but both of them were unconscious when you go over there. The dad wakes up right away. The old kobold is sat down beside the fire as well. You're in this dark cavern with your flames and whatnot. But it looks like this is like a holding ground, a place where these kobolds have made a temporary camp. And they have a whole bunch of gear and rations and whatnot that they've left behind in their haste to escape. Plus, there's a bunch of dead kobolds now stinking up the place.
Yeah.
So, what would you like to do?
I want to ask the dad what's been happening.
He wakes up and he says, Hello. Thank you so much for rescuing us. I'd thought I'd sent Lucas to Thunder Tree and we were goners. But thank you so much for...
We actually met Lucas and we found two other of your daughters.
Right. So, Imelda? My wife?
We're sorry, but she was killed by one of them.
But
I know. It's hard.
Well.
I didn't really want to say
And the girls, the twins? Rosanna and Calliope?
Oh, they're there. I think they're with their brother Lucas.
Oh. Well, thank you, heroic adventurers. What are your names?
I'm Sasha.
I'm Flash.
I'm DJ.
I am Georgington. Thank you so much for rescuing us. Is there anything you can do for my daughter Arabella? She's gravely injured. She fell when we descended the shaft.
Can Georgington heal her?
I can heal her. I will tend to her now. And he performs some medicine on her and determines that he needs to do cure wounds, heals her right back up to full, and she wakes up with a gasp.
Father, who are these people? I'm dragon.
She cowers closely to her father's, into her father's arms. Their bonds have been removed. Georgington also performs a healing check on the dad and wraps up the wrist wounds that he's got. And he's probably got little cuts and scrapes from being dragged here and there. And the old kobold sits in the corner, tied up, glaring at all of you.
Making a little face right now is like the old dude being like really angry. His eyebrows are crinkled up and he's making like a really snotty glare and he's like really angry and like he just kind of a little bit of hatred in his eyes.
Yes.
I guess.
That's the kobold?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you respond to him?
I think DJ should talk to him because I can't.
Right, he only speaks in Draconic. Potentially. He may understand common. Based on his reactions to how you're talking with the halfling dad and his daughter, it's possible that that he may understand common.
But he may not speak it. He may understand it, but that's...
Yes. So while Georgington is tending to their injuries and making them feel better, he also pulls out some food from one of his packs, his rations and whatnot, and prepares small soup for dinner because it is getting on in the evening. You're hungry again, and so he uses the campfire presented to you by the kobolds to make a meal. What do you... You want to have a conversation with the kobold now?
Yeah.
I think I come over there,
yeah?
And I have, like, a bubble ready to acid splash him if he doesn't tell us.
That's very intimidating. Okay, and what do you want to do, DJ?
I want to ask him who sent them and what are their plans.
All right, so yes, those are great questions to ask. And Flash, what are you going to do right now?
I want... If he doesn't give us who are there and why are they sent here, I'm gonna shock him, grasp him.
So you also try to threaten him. So how about the two of you roll, or one of you roll, an intimidation check with advantage? So I'll just take whatever the higher roll is. So both of you roll intimidation.
I don't have intimidation.
So you just get to use your base charisma bonus to that. So roll a 20-sided die.
This one? Find and the cub.
So yeah, not very intimidating. You haven't cast the acid splash, so you haven't raised the bubble, so it's not very intimidating.
So it's basically an 8.
Roll the big one there, bud. Yeah, roll the big one there, Flash, and see what your intimidation is like when you hold the sword. Oh my goodness. So that is probably 22 for your character.
I kind of like an acid bubble because I don't want to hurt this old
guy. Yeah, you just help Flash with his intimidation, which is super intimidating. Like, so can you say something intimidating, Flash?
I kind of like acid.
Yeah, hold on one second. Let's let Flash have his intimidating check. What do you say, Flash?
Ashen, come on, Jay. Lightning!
Wow. Okay, so the kobold is very afraid of Flash. It looks like Flash is just willing to kill him if he doesn't talk. So when you ask your questions, the kobold answers right away. And it says in Draconic, but you guys can understand this as well.
Ashardalon. Ashardalon sent us. We are a foraging group.
Oh no.
Sent to bring the other races to his heel.
I don't know what to say, but I feel like DJ's eyes light up when she says Ashardalon.
I'm just standing there really quiet because Ashardalon is my dad.
Exactly. So I'll allow Sasha to make an insight check on the word Ashardalon. So roll insight.
And I'll roll two.
You can as well, yes.
I 10 and I have insight on my little thingy, but I don't have a number there.
You have it circled though? Insight is circled?
Yes.
All right, so you get to add your wisdom bonus plus your modifier. So you have probably about 16. And Flash, you're too busy trying to threaten the kobold to recognize the words that he's saying. So you don't really attend to that. But you definitely know that she knows the name Ashardalon and it's important to her in some capacity in her history.
Me too. So,
not yet, Flash. You haven't figured that part out yet, but we're moving along. Don't you worry.
Because her dad was never around when she was little, and I never said anything, but like I always found it strange.
That's right.
With whenever I heard the name Ashardalon, I just stared worried and silent, and you could see that I was worried with the expression on my face.
Right, because Ashardalon is extremely evil, and you want to have nothing to do with him. So we've got that, we understand that, we're good to go. So let's, you guys continue to question this elderly kobold while the smells of this nice soup that Georgington is making start to waft through the corridor.
Dead bodies.
Flash now goes and tends with the dead bodies, taking them out and putting them in the cavern so that they're out of the way. And you guys find 65 copper pieces, 38 silver pieces, and 14 gold pieces. Buddy,
you got a 20.
Did you really just spit it out of your mouth to get a 20? All right, so moving forward.
I got a natural 20.
That's really funny. Spitting it out of your mouth and gets a natural 20.
He's done that twice now and got
So Flash, you gather up all of these bodies, you pile them up, you find a whole bunch of money, you find a whole bunch of crossbow bolts and little short swords and whatnot. Nothing of them are really worth any money. They have some torches, but they're normal means torches. The only thing of any value was that sword that was carried by that leader of the kobolds. You have that. You pile up the bodies, you gather up the rations that they had, although a lot of them are not exceptionally good rations, and DJ continues her conversation with this old kobold. Any other questions you'd like to ask?
Why is Ashardalon making you do this?
I don't know the mind of Ashardalon. He makes me do these things. We are his subservient people. He is the lord and dragon master of us. That he would deign to command us at all is a blessing. And you shall die. You shall die gruesome and horrible deaths at his hands, for as intimidating and powerful as you may be to dispatch weak foes such as us, you shall have no mercy. He shall show you no mercy, dragonborn though that you are.
I just want to say, like, I just have, like, that spark. Just, like, I know something you don't. I know something you guys, everybody doesn't know. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, kinda exactly. Look in my eye. You figured something out. Okay, any other questions? Flash, did you have a question?
Yep.
What was your question?
I kind of know Ashardalon.
Oh, okay. You've heard of Ashardalon before?
Yeah.
All right, make a history check. Yeah, you've heard of Ashardalon before. Yep. You know that Ashardalon is a mighty and evil red dragon. Okay, so this kobold, you asked another question? You have no other questions for the kobold? What do you do with this little old, wizened kobold?
May I acid splash him?
If you would like to kill this kobold, yes, you may.
May I shocking grasp him?
You could as well, but this guy, yeah, what would you like to do, DJ?
Maybe like we did with the goblin, we could bring him back in case anyone else thinks of more questioning.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Because how do you get back? Where do you go to get back? Because the roof closed up and you descended down that long winding corkscrew path to get to here. Now there is a way to the left, a way to the right, and a way to the north through that entryway that the kobolds fled down, but there is no other way that you can see to get back to the surface. So one thing you could do is ask the kobold here, the old kobold, what should happen.
Where were the other
kobolds going, and how do we get out of here?
No, those are two questions, aren't they?
He and the old kobold says.
The first is they are going back to Ashardalon for further advice or to regroup with the others of the kobold and goblin army for Ashardalon's attack upon Thundertree. How you get out of here, though? Well, perhaps you will just die in these caverns below and never be a threat to Ashardalon at all.
So you may need to make an intimidation or a persuasion check on this character, on this guy, in order to do that. Who would like to persuade or intimidate him? And what choice would you like to make, persuasion or intimidation? You may only choose one as a group. You cannot choose to both persuade and intimidate.
What does persuade mean?
Persuade means to try to convince you to do something by being nice to you. And intimidate means trying to get you to do something by being mean to you.
I have an idea for persuasion.
Okay, so there's persuasion choice here. Who else would like to choose persuasion? And would anybody like to choose intimidation? Persuasion or intimidation?
Intimidation.
Okay, so you believe in... So maybe you guys go off and have a little conversation to each other. Yeah, sure. You can also pick one, too. What do you choose?
Persuasion.
Okay, so we've got two fans of persuasion, one fan of intimidation. But you guys separate. You go back outside. And you have a little conversation away. The three of you, Georgington is tending to the soup, and the dad and the daughter are getting looked after, and they're helping with the cooking. So what do the three of you have a conversation about in order to try to convince this kobold to tell you what you want?
I think I say, I think we should persuade him and give him some soup.
Me too.
He works with Ashardalon. There's no way that will work.
Ah, oh, damn it. A dragon.
No, it will work because I have a trick on my sleeve.
What's the trick up your sleeve?
If we could pretend to give him soup, or we could really give him soup, or we could give him, like, something that I have in my backpack, but it's invisible.
What is it that's invisible in your backpack?
It's, like, some carrots and some stuff.
Okay, so some extra special food that you just... It's not necessarily invisible, it's just hidden right now. Okay. All right. So you do have... What do you recommend for intimidation?
I think I should use my great sword pointing at him to intimidate him, because since he works with Ashardalon, he's probably been taught that don't give good people information and if they're being nice to you.
Oh, that's really astute. I like that quite a bit. Do you tell the party that this is the reason why?
Mm-hmm. I think that maybe we should do that. Persuading him might be one of the obvious choices. I think he's going to think, oh, they're just going to be nice. Oh, they're just going to be mean to me. But I think he may think that we're just going to be nice to him to persuade him.
Yes.
But
I will point out, DJ seems to have a certain amount of insight that you notice and you connect. She knows about Ashardalon in the past, and now she knows Ashardalon's methods and how he teaches his followers. That's pretty important information. You can hold that for now, or you could ask a question about it if you want.
I think I might.
Okay, what would you like to ask her about it?
How do you know so much about Ashardalon?
And I don't want to tell you, because if I tell people, then they start not coming close to me anymore, even if they're some of my best friends, and if they know I am the daughter of Ashardalon.
Well, you don't say that, right? So what do you say to Sasha?
I just have snuck into his palace before and gotten inside information about him, and I've seen him train.
I think she needs to roll.
Yeah, you should roll a deception check.
Okay.
That is more than enough to deceive. So yeah, it is. It sounds reasonable that in the past she snuck into Ashardalon's mansion or was brought there in some capacity and watched him train some people. So that is a believable thing for you to believe in, okay?
I'm like, on the fence about it because I know.
No, her role was really, really good. So I would accept. You know what? You can make a corresponding insight check to determine whether or not she was lying. Flash, would you like to also make an insight check? What did you roll on your insight check?
16. I have insight on my little thingy.
Do you have deception on your character sheet? Is that one of the things that you're trained at?
I can't reach it.
Okay. Robin, can you please grab?
No, I am not trained with deception.
Your deception was really good, but you've made your deception check.
I don't like
Will. Flash is making his insight check, and Sasha is on the fence. That role was good enough to leave you truly on the fence because it was a good lie, really good lie. But you know her too well that things just are not stacking up the way you want them.
I'm going to just add a little backstory. When we were little, her and I, we used to go around and we got into these situations where we had to lie out of them. And I know her too well because she's super good at lying.
Yeah. Well, no, she's not actually super good at lying. She's not trained in lying. She's not a super liar and her charisma bonus isn't that high.
I know, but like she's the person that you can believe when you lie.
Okay. I don't know. What's your charisma modifier? I think you're only like +1 on charisma, right?
Yeah, I'm +1.
Yeah, so she's not she doesn't normally lie a lot, but in this instance, you're now on the fence. You know her very well from your past. It could have happened like she said, but it might not have. But you're not too sure why she would lie. But she's also a very good friend of yours and must have a good reason for not wanting to tell you the truth. So as a good person, you might want to consider believing her for the moment until she takes the time to reveal that truth to you. Now, Flash, your insight check was good enough to also leave you feeling on the fence about the whole thing, but you're also a good person and you don't want to reveal your friend's secrets or try to force them to reveal them, right? That's the only the fair thing to do.
And also, I'm used to lying to people and to not knowing I'm the daughter of a Shardalon.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. This is something you have to do not all the time, but pretty frequently. All right. Now, I want to be very clear. You are the daughter of a Shardalon, but you're not really he's not really your dad. He's like an adopted dad. He is a dragon, a red dragon, and your purple dragonborn character is connected to him, but it's not like he and your mom made you together. He's like a stepdad or adopted dad sort of thing, okay?
Yeah.
So, you go back and you decide to intimidate this kobold. Now, how do you help DJ with that intimidation check, Sasha? As you said, Sasha's gonna level her sword, her great sword, point it at them, and tell the kobold that it's going to die unless it tells us how to get out of there.
I don't have.
I stand by, and I do this, and I have the acid bubble.
And with the acid bubble again,
and okay. I'm ready. Right. I'm ready to throw.
Yep, absolutely.
I have another trick.
What's your trick?
It's like when I do this, it makes a big wave.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, so your magic-using friends are going to intimidate the kobold with their magic displays behind. You walk up, you level your long sword, your shiny, bright, extremely sharp long sword, in the face of this old, old, wizened kobold, and you say,
"Tell us how to get out, or we will kill you."
All right, now roll your intimidation check. You get to roll with advantage, so roll
Everybody
two of them.
Roll.
No, just her. She's going to get, she has, you guys helped and gave her advantage. And that advantage was great because it gave her a
17 and a 9.
So the 9 we don't count, the 17 we do. The 17 plus your intimidation check. Are you skilled in intimidation?
No.
No, you're not skilled with intimidation. So maybe you weren't going to be the best one to make that roll. Because I believe Flash is skilled with intimidation, aren't you, Flash?
I'm not.
Nobody's currently skilled with intimidation, but that's okay. You got an 18. You have the inspiration. Intimidation has a circle around it.
I think
your P is skilled in it.
Oh, there we go. Maybe we can have you roll your intimidation check as well. See what you would have gotten. Okay, roll it up. 15 plus 3 plus 1 is a 19 versus an 18. It's about the same hands around. The kobold is extremely intimidated. He is so scared that you see a wet patch appear on the front of his robe. And you all laugh at him. And he says, "It's not fair, you're a horribly frightening dragonborn and human. Nonetheless,
If you were to reach the underdark city of Menzoberranzan, there is an entrance there. Menzoberranzan can be reached.
And he gives you directions on how to get to Menzoberranzan. You leave through the corridor which the kobolds left through, and you take the first left fork, and you travel down that path. And it should take you almost a day to get to Menzoberranzan, the underdark city. It is a city underneath the world. Completely in a gigantic cavern. There's an ocean and a sea there. And he does seem to be telling you the truth because of the intimidation check was so high.
Is that where Ashardalon is?
No. Menzoberranzan would not be where Ashardalon is. Ashardalon is in his fortress of Ashardalon, where the dragon cult holds sway, and he is marshaling his forces there. Okay?
He named his fortress after himself. He's like, I'm so good looking.
It's true. He is pretty awesome, and he loves his fortress, and he loves his cult there.
And
he's trying to bring low the world.
Daddy,
okay.
Is that a Ashardalon right there?
It could very well be, yes.
It is a Ashardalon.
You're talking about the Dungeon Master screen? Sure. We'll go with that for this one here. It could very well be a Ashardalon there. All right. So you finish up. You have some food. You've got this kobold. What are you doing? You going to let him go, or are you going to kill him after dinner?
I'm going to get a carrot.
You eat a carrot. All right. You eat one of your invisible carrots. And what do you guys do?
I guess he told us our information, and we withhold our drawn weapon.
I'd say kill him because he could go back to Ashardalon and tell him that he gave us information.
Yes, he could. What's your character's alignment? It's on the top there next to folk hero and your character's class. What's your character's alignment?
Lawful good, yeah.
Yeah, a lawful good character probably wouldn't kill a prisoner like this just because they would return and give information. He did give, acquiesce and make himself a prisoner for free.
Good?
Yeah, I believe you're also lawful good. And what's your character?
I'm writing it down.
You're also lawful good. So all of you guys obey all of the laws, and you wouldn't kill this guy just because he might give information back to Ashardalon. That would not be a nice thing to do.
That's not the right thing to do.
So what do you think the right thing to do will be?
I think put him in my backpack.
Yes, you could put the kobold in your backpack, but he wouldn't be comfortable there, and you still would have to deal with him at some point.
I guess kill him in a blanket there.
I guess I'm going to think that I think we should maybe just leave him here.
Okay.
There's not much else we can do.
All right. So you can leave him here. Yeah, that would be a perfectly acceptable thing. Georgington says if we leave him tied up, but we leave him with a knife, then he can cut his way through his bonds and he won't be able to follow us. And it'll be a long time before he finally gets himself free and can leave.
I guess we could put the knife at least an arm's width. Reach away,
yeah.
But you have to extend his arm to get
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah.
Are you powerful enough to do a mind erase spell?
No, I don't think she's powerful enough to do that sort of spell, but she could cast sleep. I just don't think it's necessary that you put him to sleep in order to do it.
I don't have sleep.
But you're going to have to commit to a long rest at this point because it has been a long time and you are at a camp and there's a fire and you've had this delicious stew.
Guys.
That it might be a great idea to take to make camp here.
Anyway, thanks, Georgington, for giving us this awesome stew, man.
We should stop here.
You should be a cook.
So you guys eat your soup, you have your stew, you enjoy yourselves and your time, you camp and you have guards set up for the night. But before you go to bed, the father and the daughter approach you and they tug on Sasha's sleeve and they ask you, the three of you and Georgington, how will we get home?
Don't worry. Yeah, we know the way to an exit. Then we can bring you back to your two daughters and Lucas.
Thank you.
It may take a little while, but...
We hope we are not a burden upon you. But thank you so much again for saving us and rescuing us.
You're not. Lucas came and he ran to us and was like, you have to save my family.
He is a good boy.
And now we will do exactly what he told us to.
The little girl, she's not too little. She's a teenager halfling.
No,
she tugs on your sleeve and she says, "Thank you very much. I very much appreciate all that you have done,
and
DJ."
And that is the end.
And you, Flash, you all are are heroes to me. And with that, we'll end for the night.
I hope she doesn't pull on my tail, because I would not appreciate that.
She definitely does not. We'll end there this game's session. Your characters go to bed for the night. You set your watches. Nothing occurs. And as you're putting out the fires, as you're making and shoulder your packs, you head down the dark, dim passage towards the Underdark's dark elf city of Menzoberranzan. And we'll pick this up next week.
If I go wandering with you, what kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 1 month with another episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. You can find the Okie Dokie Brothers on iTunes at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes, and you can also find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. Thanks for listening.
Come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. Round up the troops and get the gang to come. Neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Hi. Thanks for listening. This is Kyle, the Dungeon Master for Tavern Tales Jr. Every episode at the very end, I'd like to just pass on a bit of wisdom for how to game with small kids. We have a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 10-year-old in the game, and we'll probably have a couple more kids over time as the game's interest grows amongst Robin's friends group. Our interest in Tavern Tales Jr. is to provide a safe environment for the creative experimentation for kids. And one of the ways in which that's most important that I feel is to make use of the word yes. When a child offers an idea, no matter how silly or how outside the box or how unrelated to the adventure at hand, when they offer that idea, if you say yes, you're going to get a much more creative and much more immersive game. The kids will feel like they have more of a say in what goes on. Even if the player is offering some sort of strange and outlandish notion, it is by far better to say yes than to say no. You can put caveats on it. You could say yes and such and such, or you could say yes, but those two options are definitely inferior to just straight up yes. But if you need to, just in order to keep things on the road and not to have everything run off the rails, you can do so. Nonetheless, my most important piece of advice I have for you to young players and to your older players too, is to take their offers and say yes. You'll get a much more creative and immersive game as a result. Thanks for listening.